everybody. It is me, Erin Carrera, and you are listening to The Erin Carrera Show on 1-2 Radio, and it is Thursday, May 23rd, 10 a.m. I'm coming at you from Los Angeles, California. Actually, I'm pre-recording this show, but if you're listening live, it is Thursday, May 23rd. So last week, we got to talking about what we might call dark psychology and all of the different manipulation tactics, the different things that, and different tools that people use negatively to coerce or achieve their own goals at the expense of other people. And it's important to know this stuff, to know that if it's happening to you in a relationship, whether that's a romantic relationship or a relationship with your boss, and also, frankly, to witness it in yourself in case you are doing this to other people. So we spoke about manipulation, which is an umbrella term for so many different kinds of techniques, like paltering, which is where you tell someone the truth, but you conceal specific details to create a misleading impression. We talked at length about gaslighting. We talked about backstabbing. We talked about triangulation, exploitation. I believe we talked about guilt tripping. And we left off with reverse psychology. So I thought we could pick up today with discussing some more of these dark tactics people use. And this is not for you to use them on other people unless it's for an ultimate good, right? I don't know. Maybe. We talked about, you know, how parents will manipulate their kids into eating their vegetables. So use with precaution, we'll say that. But please do recognize if these techniques are being used on you or if you are using them on other people in a way that you really don't want to, right? Okay, so reverse psychology. I think we all kind of know what this one is, right? It's a strategy where somebody encourages someone to do something by suggesting they do the opposite, tapping into that person's desire to have autonomy or to rebel or, you know. So for example, if one person wanted to spend more time with their partner, that person might say, well, you probably wouldn't want to spend time with me anyway, so go ahead and hang out with your friends. And this might trigger that other person's desire to prove them wrong and result in them canceling their plans to be with their partner, even if it's not what they truly want, or even though it's not what they truly want. So reverse psychology can be kind of, I mean, it's not the worst thing, right? It's the kind of thing you might do on a sitcom. Well, people do things on sitcoms that are pretty bad, actually, sometimes. After all, that is television. But it is worth considering if you use reverse psychology on people, if that is in your best interest, right? You may want to consider if it might not serve you better in the long run to learn to have open conversations with your partner where you make reasonable requests. Just a thought. Okay, let's move on to some other really fun ones. And by fun, I mean insane. Love bombing. Oh, if you've ever been in a cult, you know exactly what love bombing is. If you've ever been in a relationship with an abuser who became a stalker later on, you know what love bombing is. Love bombing is a manipulative tactic used to gain someone's affection or trust by overwhelming them with attention, compliments, and praise. This creates a strong emotional bond that can be used to manipulate or control that person, right? So for example, in a romantic relationship, like in my romantic relationship where I was love bombed, this person used love bombing. They used compliments, or they couldn't believe they met someone like me. They would give me gifts, overwhelm me with poetry, shower me with affection intensely to win me over. And it really made me feel special and loved. Like, oh my God, I've met my person. I can't believe it. This person just is the one. And it was really done ultimately with the intention of gaining control over me. Because then I had this feeling like this person was the one, and I couldn't believe it. I'd never met somebody like this. It was so special. And I started making little concessions like, sure, okay, we can do this your way. We can do that your way. We can do this your way, that your way. And then over time, that person began to gaslight me. And then over time, and then they would gaslight me. And then when we would have a fight, then they would gaslight me and then love bomb me. And then it started to go to separating me out and isolating me and making me more and more dependent on them, right? But it started with the love bombing. It started with the love bombing. So you watch out for that love bombing. If you're first dating somebody and they're love bombing you, be very, very, very wary as you move forward. Just, you could even say, hey, I think you're love bombing me, and you don't need to do that. You can just get to know me and we'll see how this goes. I like you. Let's go on another date. I actually have done that. I have a friend who tries to sell me on stuff, calls me and tries to pitch me and talk things up about how great they are. They always start with how great I am, and then they talk about how great things are. And I just started saying, hey, you know what, buddy? I don't need you to butter me up. And he would say, like when I started doing this, he would say, I'm not buttering you up. And I would say, it sure feels like that. I don't actually like that. It makes me feel like I don't trust you. So don't do that. And then he would try to, because it was always, always followed with something he wanted me to do, right? So I was like, just if you need to make a request of me, just call me and make the request. And then I will tell you if I can do that or not. And oh, he's getting better. He's not perfect. He's getting better. Over time, he's definitely stopped. He's at least acknowledged it. He's at least started saying, I'm not trying to sell you on something, but hey, I want to tell you all about this, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he's not really, he's getting better. He's not really there, but he's getting better. It is getting better. Negging. Oh, I hate this one. This is one they teach in seduction manuals. Now, I haven't looked at a seduction manual in a long time. But I have a funny story about seduction coaches. So many, many years ago, I was dating this guy, a real sweetheart. And he had, before we dated, he worked in reality television. Well, he still works in reality television. But at that time, he worked in reality television. But when we were dating, he had worked for years in reality television on reality dating series. Now, these are the terrible ones where, like, they would get people really drunk and not to try to make girls do things they didn't want to do, but to get crazy things to happen. And he ended up reading a number of seduction books, and he wrote a movie about a guy who works in reality television and studies seduction books and ends up, you know, falling in love for real. I don't want to say the name of the movie, although you can probably find it. It's a very cute movie. I have a bunch of songs in it. Anyway, it's a very darling movie. And then because he falls in love for real, and he learns that what he really wants in the end is actually just a really nice relationship with a woman that he really loves. As part of the research he did read a lot of different seduction manuals. And he told me, I met him after he had made the film, but he told me, or he was in post-production on the film when we started dating, which is why I have so many songs in there. But he's told me a lot about a lot of the things. He said, you know, some of the seduction tactics actually are okay. They're just teaching guys how to approach a woman and talk to her. Some of them are pretty gross. Well, at the time I was doing massage therapy, and I used to work for a mobile spa, and I got called to go do a massage for someone that they told my boss at the mobile spa was a major important celebrity. So I was thinking like, oh, great, George Clooney, you know, somebody like that. Because with this mobile company, I had already given many celebrities massages. It was just the company, that's what they attracted. So I get to this guy's condo in Playa del Rey, which is a suburb of Los Angeles on the beach. But it's like a condo. And I'm like, it's okay. And I walk in and it is full of like fine art, but for Marvel comics, Or was it DC Comics? I think it was DC. So it's full of DC comic fine art, like statues. I'm not sure if it was Marvel or DC. Who's got the Green Lantern? Because he had this giant Green Lantern, like, but beautiful, like a sculpture. And he had oil paintings. But the guy was seriously a nerd, right? I'm giving him a massage in his living room. Nothing wrong with nerds. I'm just saying he was truly a nerd. He had all sci-fi, tons of Dune, before Dune was cool, right? This was long enough ago that it was right before Marvel was as awesome as it is. So we're still in the beginning of superhero movies, right? Which I really liked back then. I don't love as much anymore because I feel oversaturated personally. It's my own personal thing. But anyway, but I'm looking at this guy's got like every sci-fi, every nerdy sci-fi thing ever, like DVDs, books, you know, tchotchkes and figurines. And we're talking about like a guy probably in his 50s. And then I look over and I see a pile of DVDs all by the same name. Now, the guy's name, I'm not going to say who it was, but the name that they gave me was two first names. So let's just say the guy's name was David Aaron. That's not his name. And there were all of these How to Seduce Women books and DVDs by someone named Aaron David. Okay, not the name. But like, you get where I'm going with this, right? Like, if the guy's name had been Jack Ryan. Like, the guy, they told me his name was Jack Ryan, but then there were all these How to Seduce Women DVDs and books by Ryan Jack, right? So and at that moment, he was like interviewing me the whole time. And I was very good at that point in my life. After having been in the music industry and been sexually harassed in the music industry and Me Too'd, and also having done massage therapy for a while at that point, let's see, that would have been 10 years at that point, I think. 10? No, like 8 years at that point. But I had had plenty of guys try to say, ask if I gave happy endings or try to get a happy ending out of me, and I didn't. No, nope. If that's what you do, fine, fabulous. But which is how I always said it. Like, why would you ask me? Go to the back of the LA Weekly. Go to the back of City Pages in Minneapolis and find somebody who does this on purpose. Don't ask somebody who's not doing that because it makes them uncomfortable. I just got really used to talking to people that way. So I was really also used to keeping somebody's questions from getting too personal before they deserved my trust. I was very good at keeping people at arm's length. And now I had read The Room. It was impossible not to read The Room. So when he said, so, you know, what do you like to do? I said, oh, you know, I like sci-fi a lot, actually. I love sci-fi books, which wasn't untrue. I really liked some sci-fi and some superhero stuff, and I liked nerdy stuff. I'm a huge nerd. I'm just more of a Anna Green Gables Bridgerton-style nerd, right? I'm more of a let's study fashion history and talk about how unreal and incorrect modern day flapper costumes that you buy on Amazon are, because that's not the hem length that they wore in 1920s. Like, I'm that kind of nerd, okay? I'm like, let's go to the Renaissance Festival and talk about how these costumes are totally incorrect and love it anyway because we're drinking beer and it's fun, right? Like, I'm nerdy, but I'm not annoyed by my nerdiness. Anyway, but I was just like, oh yeah, you know, I like sci-fi and really into Wonder Woman or whatever I said. And he's like, oh, that's so cool, me too. And then at one point he goes, so I bet you've seen the pile of DVDs and books there, right? And I said, yes, very interesting subject matter, How to Seduce Women. He said, those are my friends, I'm just holding on to them. And I was like, thinking to myself, dude, that's the weirdest thing you could have said, because your name is Jack Ryan and they're all by Ryan Jack. Like, what's up with that? That's so bizarre. But I didn't call him on it because here I am on behalf of a mobile spa company. The woman who runs it is kind of a friend of mine. I don't want to get a bad report for her. It's harmless. It doesn't bother me. I said, oh, okay, sure. So I get out of the massage and I call the guy I'm dating at the time. I'm like, you will never believe who I just gave a massage to. And he was like, who? And I said, I think I gave a massage to one of your seduction experts. And he was like, what? That's crazy. And I said, yeah, you know, I forget how it went down, but basically like the next day, that guy called and left me a voicemail. And he said, by the way, Aaron, it's Jack Ryan. And I just wanted to say thank you for the massage. It was a great massage. But I also wanted to tell you how beautiful you are. And I wanted to ask if you're single or if you're looking to trade up. Because I'd like to know what brings you pleasure. And that was the message. And I found it so cheesy. I found it so absolutely cheesy. Now, maybe if he had been like a drop-dead gorgeous guy, I would have been like, okay, arrogant. But this guy was like nerdy and scrawny and not in any way showing me that he was like I didn't, I'm not saying he wasn't a kind person or that he wasn't, because I don't know, or that he wasn't a smart person. Clearly he was. But I'm not somebody who cares that much about money. And if I was a gold digger, I would pick somebody with more than a condo, right? And I'm not interested in being sold a pack of lies or being seduced into something. And he didn't know the particulars of my dating situation, that right then and there I happened to be dating this guy who happened to make a movie about specifically this topic. But I told the guy that I was dating. So this guy just called me and just said this. He's like, no, if that guy, it can't be the seduction expert. It can't be, because if it was the seduction expert, you would not be talking to me right now. And I was like, I'm going to forward you this voicemail and I'm going to tell you the name of the guy. And he was like, I can't believe it. Because it was one of the seduction experts that he had studied. And it had to have been, because why else would the guy say, oh, that's my friend, but it was really the same freaking name, just backwards. Oh, it was so bad. So that's my story about seduction coaches. Like well, I've read a lot of it, and a lot of their tactics are like this guy, his tactics were go to the bar sober. Don't drink alcohol. Don't try to pick up a woman until it's toward closing time. Look for someone young, not super attractive, not the most attractive girl, and a little drunk. And then use these tactics. And then the tactics were things like, here's the tactic. This is why I told you the story. Negging. I hate negging so bad. Negging is a manipulative tactic used in dating or social interactions or by seduction people to undermine someone's confidence, making that person seek validation or approval from the person using that tactic. It often involves giving backhanded compliments or mild insults disguised as compliments. So for example, like a guy might say to me, oh, you're pretty cute for someone who doesn't take care of themselves, right? You're pretty cute for someone who doesn't take care of themselves. Well, that is subtly insulting my appearance with the goal of making me feel insecure, the goal of making me seek approval. I hate it. People who have tried to do that to me, I always call them out on it. I can't help myself. My temper, my trigger is strong. It calls out my temper. Maybe not so much now that I'm like middle-aged and way calmer, but listen to how riled up I am. I'm like, I want to punch them in the face, but I always call them out. I'm like, don't neg me. I don't need to be negged. Don't neg me. Don't neg anybody. It's a sign of your own insecurity. Don't do that. Right? So what are some of the signs that can show you you're dealing with a manipulative person? Well, let me backtrack just a little bit. Okay. Because who are the people who are going to use these kind of tactics who are dangerous? These would be people with traits of Machiavellianism, psychopathy, psychopathy, narcissism, right? And the people where it's dangerous is that it's when people who are seeking power or control over you, people who lack empathy, who lack remorse, these people can be abusers, criminals, people with personality disorders. And there's a caveat I would also add, people with neurotic traits, because people with neurotic traits might use these negative tactics to get a sense of power over you, to try to quell their own neuroticism without, every time I say neuroticism, I feel like I'm saying eroticism. No, neuroticism, but without actually growing or healing, and therefore they might continue to actually exacerbate these techniques and you might get caught in a loop, right? So if you suspect that somebody's using these tactics against you, it's very important to take steps to protect yourself. Very important. Right? Again, it's important to know and to start to see in others. I mean, if you've never gone through a narcissistic relationship or been in a relationship with a narcissist, it's harder to see it coming. Once you've gone through it, then you can see it coming from a mile away. So what are some of the signs that you are dealing with a manipulative person? Sometimes it might be very subtle. Somebody with an antisocial personality disorder may actually come across as very charming. Remember that movie, American Psycho, right? Very charming person. Or if you think about Ted Bundy, serial killer, very charming. But their goals were to control and harm people. So signs that you are dealing with a manipulative person and you should take care and be watchful. They're giving you persistent, excessive attention, excessive love, excessive flattery. They are persistent in their goals with you despite boundaries. They give you a ticking time clock and put pressure on you based on time to get you to act. Their words and actions do not line up. And even in general, if you feel guilt or shame or you feel generally off around this person. Now, while I was doing research on manipulation tactics, dark psychology, I found an acronym that might be helpful, DARVO. I did not come up with it. I found it online, D-A-R-V-O. That you might want to familiarize yourself with DARVO because this is a way that a manipulative person shifts the blame, confuses what's happened, and turns it around on the other person. So it looks like this, D. So D-A-R-V-O. D is for denying the behavior. And then A, they attack you by R, reversing who is V, the victim, and O, the offender. So they were the offender, but now they're D, denying the behavior, A, attacking you, R, reversing, V, that they are now the victim, and you are now the O, offender, DARVO. So, you know, for example, if I were in a relationship with somebody who was doing this, and I said, why didn't you come pick me up? You said you would pick me up after work at 5. And they would say, oh, no, you never, I never said, they would D, deny the behavior. I never said I was going to pick you up, A. You just assumed I would pick you up, R, reversing the V, victim, and O, offender roles. You're always taking advantage of my kindness, and you didn't even ask because you should know that I'm very busy right now, and I don't have time for this, right? It's a very simple off-the-cuff example, but right? So remember, gaslighting, guilt-tripping. There's other ones too. There's other manipulations in relationships, but basically it's always a goal to try to get a sense of power or control or resources, like coercive control, somebody taking control of your schedule, your money, your connections, somebody changing the rules, making the finish line harder and harder to achieve, somebody threatening to emotional blackmail, threatening to release information or abandon you unless you do what they say. Gaslighting, we talked about. Guilt tripping, isolating, we talked about. Lying, you know, just making up straight up false information. Love bombing, being passive aggressive, giving backhanded compliments, negging, projection, where they accuse you of what they're doing. One I hate is when someone gives you the silent treatment. We talked about triangulation. We talked about backstabbing. So why somebody becomes manipulative in the first place? Well, a lot of it might be based on their own childhood, sure. That if somebody learns early on they can't get their needs met directly, then they have to go and find other ways to feel safe, to get what they need, to get what they want. But that doesn't mean you should take it, right? And besides, it really very well may be somebody with a personality disorder. Somebody might, for example, be having a narcissistic personality disorder, sort of the one people like to talk about the most, But that, for example, someone with narcissistic personality disorder might use projection to shift the blame onto you. Somebody who is an addict has substance use disorder. They might use an excuse to get money out of you. They might try to manipulate you for money so they can get their drugs. Somebody who has an insecure attachment style might threaten breaking up with you to test your loyalty. Somebody who is has an antisocial personality disorder, they might use an entirely fake persona to get into your circle, right? And the reason I'm spending so much time on this is because manipulation and these kinds of dark psychology tactics, it is abusive. And as I've shared here on this show, literally this show and previous shows, it can become an actual form of abuse. Manipulation in and of itself may not be the abuse, but it might grow into emotional abuse, psychological abuse, perhaps eventually financial, physical, sexual abuse. The victim will start to question their own sanity and feel like they are the problem. The victim may start to live in fear and feel like this happened to me. I was always walking on eggshells. It can lead to increased anxiety, depression, increased stress, low self-esteem, withdrawal from the things you love in life, social withdrawal. So what should you do if you are the person committing the manipulation? First of all, see if you can curiously and openly and honestly assess for yourself the level of manipulation, because a lot of us commit these what we might call small acts of manipulation, right? It's like the difference between telling some huge lie versus a little white lie. Like some of us might, you know, sort of use some of these tactics in parenting, and they're meant for good, right? Some of us might use some of these tactics in our relationships and not realize that we're maybe acting out in a way that's less healthy. You can honestly assess your own behavior. You can begin to say, well, how would the other person, if I were being treated this way, how would I feel? And what would I rather experience? And how can I more honestly and openly approach my needs or ask for my needs to be met and give this person a chance to hear my side of things, right? If you're in a generally healthy relationship, you could go get couples therapy. But if you are resorting to manipulation in relationships at the level where you're abusing another person, you definitely need professional support. Now, I would be surprised if there were people who were very unwell listening to my show. They would be so angry at me. They'd be like, fuck you, bitch. I need to get what I want. You can go to hell, right? Well, I mean, unless they have a little modicum of health. Whereas if you are the victim, if somebody's trying to control you, somebody's trying to get what they want by manipulating you, then there are multiple things that you can do, different things that you can do to try to heal first the relationship and also yourself. I also wanted to give a little caveat. Remember, there's a big difference between emotional vulnerability and emotional manipulation. Somebody expressing their emotions, you expressing your emotions, is not manipulation. You get to cry. You get to be angry, right? Crying doesn't mean that you're necessarily trying to cry to get something that you want. Sometimes you just need to cry. But in order for you to protect yourself, the first thing I want to say is stepping away can be very valuable. If you feel like somebody's trying to manipulate you, it's okay to step away, even just for the moment. You can just calmly tell the person, hey, I need to step out for 20 minutes. I just need to gather my thoughts. When I come back, we can talk about this, okay? I just need to understand. I'm getting a little bit too emotional, and I want to feel my feelings, and I also want to assess what I think and what I feel about this so that I can be more clear with you. So give me 20 minutes, and when I come back, we'll talk about this, right? It's really important that you develop those kinds of communication skills. I had to learn how to be very clear with my communications. It's so valuable to practice saying, you know, I need this. I want this. These are my boundaries. Because the more comfortable you are with direct communication, trust me, the easier it is to spot the manipulation from other people. And I'm going to say that it's really okay if you need to leave the relationship. In fact, if this is somebody who's very unhealthy, I'm going to tell you the sooner the better. As early as possible, really, try to get out. And if you are in danger, ask a trusted friend, a family member, a therapist, a hotline. Get help, right, if you need it. Because you don't want to wait for that emotional abuse to get really bad before seeking help. As I've talked about with my particular situation, you know, the thing I learned after the fact is that the moment, when it becomes an abusive relationship, the moment you leave is actually the most dangerous moment, because that's when that other person, the perpetrator of abuse, has nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose. So they are far more likely to be desperate and act out of that desperation. That's why it's so important to get out as soon as you can, and if you need to get help, okay? So what you should not do is you should not feel responsible, okay? If you are a victim, guilt is a powerful tool used in manipulating other people, but no one is responsible for someone else's feelings, right? Yeah, that's what they want you to believe, but it's not true. It's not. It's just not. You are not responsible for their happiness. You're not responsible for their well-being. You're only responsible for your own happiness, right? If they are trying to get you to believe that you're responsible for their feelings, then they can easily manipulate you. Also, do not try to reason with somebody. Don't try to win the argument, because they're just going to twist your words and turn them against you. And the more you try to be reasonable, the more they will gaslight you and make you doubt yourself and try to get ground, right? And also, sinking to their level, that's not a nice way of putting it, but basically, right? Trying to bring up their shortcomings, that's not going to help you, because they're just going to turn the blame on you. If it's somebody who really isn't willing to do work, or somebody who really does have a personality disorder, somebody's really unwell, it is not going to help for you to reason with them. Also, do not give in to their demands, even the small ones, because that just reinforces their behaviors. They're going to think, oh, okay, this is the level I need to take it to get what I need. And then they'll go a little further the next time, and a little further the next time, and a little further the next time. Right? Even if somebody's threatening to hurt themselves, just leave the conversation, and then don't let them force you to respond. Call mental health emergency services or the police and have them do a wellness check. You must remove yourself, because they will just keep taking it to the next level. Okay? So if emotional manipulation is starting to negatively impact your life every day, I highly recommend getting support. Couples therapy can help if people are having very, you know, basic sort of what we might even call garden variety manipulation challenges, right? It might just be a coping mechanism from past experiences. Not everybody who uses these kinds of manipulation tactics is trying to be harmful. Many people just... that's the sort of first tool they learned, and so they are relying on it. And frankly, most of us probably resort to some kind of emotional manipulation at some point in our lives, right? I mean, did you ever have a temper tantrum as a little one? Then, yeah, there you go, right? But when it's every day and it's pushing past your boundaries and if you feel threatened, or if it's impacting your mental health, that's when it becomes a form of abuse, and couples therapy is probably not going to help. Couples therapy is often not effective for abusive relationships, because the perpetrator of the abuse just starts to try to manipulate the situation to make the victim the problem. And if you are in an abusive relationship, there is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. I've got the number here, 1-800-799-7233. Okay? So remember, emotional manipulation is abusing your feelings, taking advantage of your feelings to push you into behaviors or thoughts you wouldn't normally do. And while it totally happens all the time, garden variety, naturally occurring throughout life, people should eventually grow out of it and or seek to grow out of it. But patterns like gaslighting, humiliating, love bombing, pushing past those boundaries, that can be a part of emotional abuse. And that is when it's time to go for some help. Get some help. Okay? So what if the emotional manipulation is that garden variety and it's not, you're not dating, you know, the guy from American Psycho, right? It's just, you know, like I mentioned earlier, like you've just got sort of like a Catholic guilt mom or a Jewish guilt mom or, you know, whatever, insert whoever gave you guilt. I think there's just a lot of, that's an old way of doing things, right? So how do you deal? Well, so let's start with guilt tripping, for example. First of all, depersonalize it. Depersonalize it, because the person is trying to guilt trip you, or if it's just a basic emotional manipulation, it's not your issue, it's theirs. It's because that person does not know how to express their needs in a healthy way, right? When I was talking about, let's just take an example. For example, somebody being like, oh, well, I guess you don't want to spend time with me, right? That's somebody who doesn't know how to say, I really want to spend more time with you. Will you make more time for me? That's somebody who doesn't know how to say such a simple request. You can almost have a lot of compassion for that person. What you can do is articulate your boundaries. And you can say, you know, I don't appreciate being made to feel guilty for expressing what I want or feel. I'm sorry it's not the answer you wanted to hear, but I'm not going to feel bad about having my own preferences. And if somebody can say, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody who's like, you know, I guess you didn't want to spend time with me anyway, you know, my response might be, you know, I don't appreciate being made to feel guilty for expressing that I have other plans. I'm sorry that you wish that I didn't have plans, but I happen to have other plans. So I'm not going to feel bad about the plans I already made. But if what you're asking is if we can make plans, I would be happy to make plans with you, right? You can show them. And if they can't get the hang of it over time, eventually you may grow apart. But you can listen to them. You can listen to them and validate their feelings. Even if it's tough, I think it's valuable, right? You might feel hurt and be like, oh, well, now I have the upper hand because they were guilt tripping me. No. That actually isn't going to help you. That's just going to reinforce that loop. Instead, you can ask open-ended questions. You can listen to how they're feeling. You can validate. You say, you seem upset. Do you want to talk about it? Right? You can offer a compromise, like the compromise. You know, your friend wanted to hang out. You have other plans. You could say, you know, tonight I can't, but how about tomorrow evening? How about next week? Let's make plans. So if you are with somebody who's willing to really work on creating a better boundary, creating a better approach to communication, then these are problems that can be solved through listening and open-hearted conversations. And if this is somebody who really is in the unwell side of things, well, you know what I'm going to say. Run for the hills, my friend. Run for the hills. I mean, sometimes it might take a little time to assess which is which, especially if you are lucky enough to have never gone through this kind of situation before in your life. God bless you. But the more you've gone through these kind of situations with people, you will start to see it coming. And then you will start to protect yourself more and more, because you'll know that nobody who is unwell and not willing to get well will be worth the pain of being a victim of that abuse. All right, friends. So if you're listening to this show live Thursday, May 23rd, or the day that it, at its time of release, then it is Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, and I will be out of town through Monday, Memorial Day. I'll be available limited hours, so please do make a callback request or schedule an appointment, and we'll find a time to speak with each other. Just know that it's slightly limited hours, as I will be out of town celebrating with a dear friend of mine. But I did decide to set aside a little time each day to be available at One to Listen, and I cannot wait to speak with you. And if for some reason we can't make a time during Memorial Day weekend, then we'll prioritize you as soon as I get back. But I'm pretty sure we'll be able to find a time. So feel free to reach out, okay? Find me at onetolisten.com/Erin. That's Erin with an E. onetolisten.com/Erin. Bye.